todo el mundo.
But this was really
1981.
Welcome to the Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Lane Wilson, author of the Rock and Roll Nightmares book series and director of the documentary The Ventures, Stars on Guitars. This is your destination for all things rock, where the interviewees include musicians, authors, historians, filmmakers, and more. And now, on to the show. Today's guest is Spencer Charnas, the frontman of the theatrical metal band Ice Nine Kills. The band name comes from the fictional substance Ice Nine from the 1963 novel Cat's Cradle by Kurt Vonnegut, but their sound and inspiration comes from horror movies, and their latest collaboration is with the twisted minds behind the Terrifier franchise. Spencer and Art the Clown star in Ice Nine Kills' latest music video. Spencer was kind enough to give me a recipe for the Rock and Roll Nightmares charity book, Rock Tales, so I'm looking forward to catching up with him. Let's get him on the line now. Hi, Spencer. Welcome to the Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, well, we met a while ago, and you gave me a recipe for the Rock and Roll Nightmares charity project, Rock Tales, which has been a big hit, so thank you for that. It's great to talk with you again.
Absolutely. Hope you enjoyed my drink.
Of course. Yeah, your drink was Hops to Be Scared.
It
was
a beer
drink. Yes.
I love that. We're always with the puns. We're always the punny guys. Yeah.
You got to have it. Yeah, so your new single, A Work of Art, is a collaboration with the Terrifier franchise. Now, what inspired you to create a song specifically for Terrifier 3, or did they approach you? How did that work?
I've been an admirer of the Terrifier franchise since it came out. When Part 2 was released a couple years ago, I went from a fan to like a super fan. And, you know, I got an early screener of the movie from my friends at Bloody Disgusting. And I just wanted to be an ambassador of it for no other reason than I think slasher fans needed to see this movie. If they didn't know what Art the Clown was, they needed to. And became very friendly with Damien and David and Catherine and Leah and all these great people. Chris Jericho was a friend of mine. And it was so cool to see him in Part 2 and 3. And I just went to Damien, I think, last year. On Dokken did for Dream Warriors. We want to do that for Terrifier. We want to do what Alice Cooper, you know, with Man. And he was just real admiration between the band and that movie and the people involved with it. How when we do conventions, it's just very clear, like, if you're an Ice Nine Kills fan, you're a Terrifier fan, and probably the other way around for the most part. And so it just made sense. And him and Phil, the producer of the franchise, they were just very, very trusting, and they gave us our artistic freedom Of course, we had to on set with us to make sure that we weren't wasting our time in terms of like, okay, well, Art's never going to do that, so don't even bother. But yeah, it just worked out, and it's really exciting to be, basically a week away from release, and to be officially involved with the franchise. We've done homages to all of our favorite movies, and this time it's for real, so it's pretty exciting.
Yes, that is definitely an Ice Nine Kills video trademark. Now, can you tell me a little bit about the process of working with David Howard Thornton and incorporating Art the Clown into the music video? Because you said, like, there were maybe some ground rules. What can we expect?
Well, without giving away too much, I will say, and actually, I don't think I've said this yet on any of the interviews, the inspiration for this music video, obviously, other than Terrifier and Art the Clown, was Ace Ventura. That scene in the first one where he infiltrates a cannibal corpse show, and he's just like the dichotomy of how he looks and how he's dancing with this like, classic death metal band, right? Was sort of the aesthetic inspiration for it, and I believe anytime I pitched the idea to anyone, I brought up that movie. So that's kind of funny, and I do think I've even heard David say that one of his big influences is Jim Carrey. So it just seemed like, man, this is perfect, and worked with some great talented writers, Andrew Justin Smith, Paul Soder, our director Jensen Noen, who has an amazing team, everyone from the producer to the DP, everyone on our camp, musically, Drew Falk, who produced the song, Zach Cervini, Joe Acuti, who did the sound design, Christopher Nelson, who is one of the best special effects guys in the game, and just a fantastic friend of mine, was generous enough to come on board. And this guy is, not only the king of horror makeup effects of the last, decade, doing all the new Halloweens for Blumhouse, but I mean, this guy was on set of Kill Bill, and so to have that kind of expertise in, some of these kills actually helped dictate the story, which was really cool to kind of base the story around the kills. I felt like we were Tom Savini or something back in the Friday the 13th days.
Yeah, or was it Maniac where he got his head blown off in the car? I think
Yes.
that was, yeah, right.
With the shotgun or
Oh
the
gosh, yeah.
prowler. Yeah. So cool.
Yeah, so you get to kind of live out your dreams and nightmares with these videos, and they are always so cinematic. This one I know runs 7 minutes long. So how do you keep it fresh? Like, how do you keep topping yourself? Because it seems like each video just keeps getting better and better.
Well, thank you, and wait till you see the 14-minute extended cut of this video,
Ah.
which has an ending that kind of sets up the next phase of Ice Nine Kills. I'll say that, and some very exciting cameos. I think, that's always what we're trying to do. How do we one up ourselves? How do we keep pushing the envelope, both aesthetically, cinematically, musically? And I think we just kind of go with our gut. And I think, like the movies we love, we try to keep people guessing. We try to do stuff that you're not going to expect, that I don't think the average band would be willing to try. For instance, you've seen the video. There's a musical part that like is just like so chaotic, doesn't make any sense, and because it doesn't make any sense, it makes perfect sense. To me, sort of, it's so unexpected that it sort of mirrors the chaos of the film franchise, which is just so off the wall and mixing horrible, like the most horrible imagery you've ever seen with some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen. So that's what we try to do. We try to do justice to the material, and that's all we can do, really.
Yeah,
Just
well,
try our
can you talk a
best.
little bit, yeah, about the collaboration? Because you talk about obviously the Terrifier films, if fans expect a certain aesthetic from that. But how does the music fit in with the Terrifier universe in this particular song?
Well, I will say we were gifted an incredible theme to build off because Paul Wiley, who does the score for all the Terrifier films, he built a beautiful theme that dum 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 dum, and having a recognizable, a hummable, iconic theme to associate with a horror film, I think is something that was a bit of a lost art, pun intended. You think about in the 70s and the 80s with Halloween and Carpenter and Manfred Dini and Scream with Marco Beltrami and Nightmare on Elm Street. Like those, there were very defined themes that you associated with those movies, and I to me that was missing a little bit in modern horror. So Paul is a friend of ours, and he was very generous to use the music, use that theme, and that guided definitely like the first opening part of the song. And from there, you kind of just follow your instincts. We had a lot of fun with this one. Some songs, we'll slave over for months and keep tweaking things. This was one of those things where I we had a completely different idea for the song that we worked on for a couple months, and it was really cool. But something wasn't sticking for me, so I came up with this melodic idea, which I initially thought was going to be a chorus and turned out to be the verse. And I went in the studio and showed our producer Drew it, and we just wrote the song pretty much that day. It just flew out of us. The chorus melody, I was humming something. He's like, "Yeah, that's amazing. Like, go up here, or go down here." And then, Joe came in the next day, and the thing that took the longest was trying to figure out the breakdown. How do we make this breakdown feel like you're being killed by Art the Clown? And that was the most challenging part because it's such a violent movie. How do you make music that lives up to the violence? And as sick as that sounds, I think we nailed it.
Now, that's I know that the video hasn't premiered yet, but have you played this song live on stage yet, or have you had a chance to play with it a little bit?
No, we have a rule that we sort of instituted years ago that we never play a song live until it's released. For a few different reasons. You want people to already be familiar with the song when you play it, so that they can sing the words. But also, sometimes it takes a little tinkering to get it just right live, and we wouldn't want the first representation of the song to be some shoddy YouTube video or something. We're very tight-lipped about that, and we stick to that rule. Australia will be the first time we play it in November.
That'll be exciting for sure. Now, the Terrifier franchise certainly gained a cult following very quickly, kind of what they call an instant cult classic. As a horror enthusiast yourself, I'm wondering what you think sets Art the Clown apart as a modern horror icon from his more vintage brethren.
I think that there's sort of like that indescribable quality about Art the Clown. I think it's clear that he's a combination of a few elements of the greats, right? Obviously, the Michael Myers of the world, the Jason of the world, the killers who don't talk. But then Freddy Krueger, he's got that panache that Robert Englund brought to that role that only Robert Englund could bring, which only David Howard Thornton could bring. And obviously, Freddie was really kind of the first horror icon to show that kind of humor. I know, I think that Pennywise had a little bit of that in him. But then the other element that I think that Art takes a little piece of are comedians, right? Like we talked about Jim Carrey. I also see some Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean, in what David brings to Art the Clown. And I think it's that combination of what people are familiar with, things that they love about the other slasher stars, with that little bit of a tweak, with that little bit of something that makes it different. And I think the design of the costume and the makeup is brilliant. Because you hear, like a killer clown, that's really original. Everyone knows Pennywise. Everyone knows that every horror theme park in the world has clowns at their haunted attraction that jump out at you. But for something to catch on like this, there's got to be something special, right? There's something that is beyond the status quo of a killer clown. And you chalk it up to a million different things. You chalk it up to David. You chalk it up to Damien. You chalk it up to the other actors that support him in the role, and the music. I think it's one of those things where it's like, if you try to make something iconic, if your goal is to make something iconic, it never happens, right? Tommy Lee Wallace was told to go out and make the Michael Myers mask. He got a mask, William Shatner thing, opened up the eyes, cut off the sideburn, painted it white. Did he ever think in a million years that that thing would become like the face of horror? Or that when Steve Miner was on set, he's like, let's use a hockey mask here. It's just like one of those things where it's like Scream, right? I mean, I don't think anyone saw that coming, that was going to be, maybe it would be a cult hit, but that it would be a cultural phenomenon that would change the face of horror. I think it's just one of those things where it's like, sometimes it's just lightning in a bottle. And I think that's what happened here. Talent, drive, and that little bit of the right timing, I think is what does it sometimes. And if there was a formula for it, right, there'd be a million Michael Myers and Jasons and Freddies and Arts and Victor Crowleys, but there's only a few, and I think there's a reason for that.
David is so talented in the role. Now, had you met him before this collaboration?
Yes, I've become very friendly with so many of the people involved with the movie. The first time I met David and Damien, we actually invited them out to our show. We played, it was the first time we ever played Madison Square Garden, which was an awesome thing to do in and of itself. But to have, Art the Clown and his maker, so to speak, in the audience was insane. And since then, we've done a lot of conventions together. They just a couple of weeks ago, they did our Silver Screen Con, which is our own horror convention. Just we've become very good friends with Catherine Corcoran and Jenna from the first one, and Leah Voisey and Elliot and Lauren, and just everyone has been so cool. And the producer and sort of the godfather of the Terrifier franchise, Phil Falcone, who we had on set during our video, to make sure we were doing the character justice. They're just all really good people, and proud to be friends with them.
Yeah, and you've worked with a couple of friends of mine, Bill Moseley and Ricky Dean Logan, and so many great horror icons, really. If you could choose anyone to work with, living or dead, who would it be?
Oh man, that's so hard. I would probably say Wes Craven. He's just such a big influence on me in particular, with his direction, in particular in Scream. That movie has had an influence on me that we wear very proudly on our sleeves. And I had the pleasure of actually meeting him one time when he was in Boston for a book signing, and I just happened to catch him before they cut, sort of closed up shop. I found out late in the day that he was going to be at this book signing, and I was like, oh my God, like I've always wanted to meet him. And I ended up making it in time, and he signed my ghost face mask, as funny as it sounds. It was a real moment that I always remember. And I was telling him about how I nearly killed myself to get here. I was driving through red lights, and he thought that was really funny. And unfortunately, he did pass away a few years later. But I'm grateful that I got to meet him and shake his hand. And he hears that all the time, but it was nice for me to tell him how big of a fan I was of his.
Yeah, that really is a good feeling when you get to kind of share a connection with someone who's meant a lot to you in your formative years. So I'm glad that you got to meet him. Now I want to kind of segue to music. I know that you're wrapping up a world tour with Metallica. When does that end?
So we just wrapped up
Oh, okay.
basically like a 2 year tour with them, off and on, been playing with them, maybe even like it could technically say it extended 3 years, but I'm happy to announce that we just released more dates with them for 2025. We will
Oh,
be playing with
wow. Okay.
them again next spring, and early summer, on a stadium tour with Iceland Kills, Metallica, and Limp Bizkit, another favorite band of mine from my youth. And again, it's just like it's very parallel to getting to work with Terrifier, getting to work with people like you mentioned, Ricky Dean Logan and Bill Moseley. And I grew up on those movies and those actors, and I grew up on Limp Bizkit and Metallica. So it's just it's surreal to get admiration from people who you admire. It's amazing, and I'm very grateful for the opportunities on both sides of those fences.
Well, you are a peer and of equal talent, so I think that it's well deserved. I know you work very hard, but I want to kind of segue from your dream to wrapping up here with the question that I always ask on this podcast, since it is the Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast. What is your own personal rock and roll nightmare?
I would choose a good thing, because that's more fun. I would say if we could somehow be, Iceland Kills be reborn as Dokken and get to perform Dream Warriors in a music video with Freddy Krueger. I think that would be my rock and roll nightmare. What's more rock and roll and nightmare than Dream Warriors, right?
I love it. That's one of the most original answers. So thanks for that. And I just want to reiterate that on October 10th only, that Ice Nine Kills' highly anticipated new short film music video will debut in over 300 AMC and Markets theaters. So that's pretty exciting. Now, where can fans find and follow you online?
The best way to do it is through our Instagram and Twitter accounts, which are both Ice Nine Kills with the nine spelled out, ice9kills.com. And you will find all the info that you need on the band, including a list of the theaters that our video will be playing in with Terrifier exclusively on October 10th with the double feature of 2 and 3. So make sure you are, if you want to see our video on the big screen, buy tickets to the double feature, and you find the theaters right on our website.
Brilliant. I love it. Well, thank you, Spencer. I really appreciate your time and can't wait to see you live in 2025.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
This concludes another episode of the Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast. Remember, there's a book series too. All the books are available in paperback, ebook, and audio via Amazon or the Rock and Roll Nightmares website. That's ROCK-N-ROLL-Nightmares.com. Our official theme song is She's Out for Blood by Fuzzbuster, founded by Lars Cabot. Thank you for listening. Well, she's by